Okay, good afternoon slash evening, everybody. Tomorrow's daf that we're going to learn right now, Bez Hashem, is Yuma Daf Ayin Ches. We're going to pick up from Daf Ayin Zayin and Beis. We're going to pick up from Amar Rabbi Pinchas Mishum Ravuna Tzipo Ra'a. The Gemara today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We're going to discuss a little bit more about the Nachal that emanated from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and picked up steam as it went further away. And then the Gemara is going to talk about walking through water. We're going to continue talking about walking up until your neck in water on Yom HaKippurim, and then we're going to discuss whether you're allowed to do similarly on Shabbos. And then we're going to discuss bathing on Yom HaKippurim, what you're not allowed to do on account of the fact that it's still included in the Isser of bathing. Are you allowed to moisten a cloth in advance of Yom HaKippurim and then enjoy the coolness of that cloth on Yom HaKippurim itself? And then the Gemara is going to bring two shailas that they asked Rabbi Lazar the Amora, not Rabbi Lazar the Tana, Rabbi Lazar the Amora, and the second of those shailas relates to Yom HaKippurim, and that's going to be at the very bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, and it's going to talk about specifically the types of shoes one may wear on Yom HaKippurim. What if the shoe is not made out of leather, it's made out of other materials? What if it's a particularly comfortable shoe? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the inyan of Inoy for Ketanim on Yom HaKippurim. May Gedolim provide Ketanim with items? Do Ketanim have any Chiyuvim in terms of the Inuyim of Yom HaKippurim? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss the special exemptions that the Mishnah mentioned for a melech and a kala, how they're allowed to wash their faces on Yom HaKippurim. And the Mishnah says that a chaya, a woman who recently gave birth, is allowed to do ni'ilas ha-sandal according to Rabbi Eliezer, although the Chum say that she is not allowed to do ni'ilas ha-sandal. So we're going to discuss some of those details as well. So let's begin all the way toward the bottom of the page on daf, ayin, zayin, and beis. Amr Pinchas Bishum Ravuna Tzipo Ra'a. So he says, Mayana Yotzim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, but Chila, initially when the water started emerging from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Doma LeKarnei Chagavim. It was such a narrow waterway, it was like Karnei Chagavim. It was like the horns on a grasshopper. Kivin Shigia LePesach Heichal, Nasa Kuchush Shel Shasi. But once it got to the point of the Pesach HaHeichal, so then it had widened to the point of the thickness of the strings on the loom that run lengthwise. Kivan shegiel ulam. Once it got to the ulam, naasek got even thicker to the point of kechot shalerev. The other strings on the loom that ran widthwise, which are a little bit wider than the strings that run lengthwise. Kivan shegiel pesach hazara. Once the waterway got to the pesach hazara, naasek kepi pach katan. It became like the width of a small jug. Vahainu detran, and that's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Midos. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer mayim mefachin. That mayim mefachin. That the water that flows in the width of a pach, of a jug, asidin lios yotzin mitachas miftan abayis, is going to come out from underneath the door of the azara. Mikan ve'elach, and from there on, misgaber ve'olah, it continued to strengthen, it picked up even more steam after that, atche megiel le'pesach beis David, until it got to the Pesach beis David, which is outside of Yerushalayim, kivin shemegiel le'pesach beis David, nasa kenachal shotif, then became like a raging stream, shebo rochtzin, zavin ve'zavos, nidos ve'yoldos, and that's where all different types of Tamei people would be tovel to be mitar themselves. Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Zechariah, "Bayoma hu yeh makor niftach lebeis David uliyosh Yerushalayim lechatos ulenida." That loss of Avo, the nachal is going to come from the base of Mikdash, and it's going to take you'll be able to take from there the water for the Efer Paraduma as well as for Tevilas Nida. So you see that Tevila is able to be done in such a location. The Siach Yitzchak points out that Lechora there's a Sakana. If it's such a raging stream, you shouldn't be allowed to go there because of Sakana. So he says it could be that they would be Tovel right by the edge where it wasn't raging so much, or maybe there was an area that they were able to be Makif Mechitzos, they were able to put Mechitzos in the water so that it wouldn't affect them too much. In the Yad David, he says, no, Mehechi tasted that it was Mutter. Maybe really it's Asur to be Tovel in such a place because of Sakana. The Gemara is just trying to draw a picture for us of how significant the water was. So it's saying that it's water that would technically work for Zavin, Zavos, Nidos, and Yoldos to be Matar themselves. But not that they would actually do that. They can't actually do that because that taka would be a sakana. So then the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yosef Darshan's a din from the Pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mikan Remez, Lenidos, Tzricha Leishev, Atzavara B'mayim. From the fact that the Pasuk says that the Nachal was Ra'oi for a Tvilas Nida only after it got to that point of the Pesach Beis David, that that's where it was a raging river. So you see a remez for the halacha that when a nida goes to the mikvah, she has to be able to sit up into her neck in water, meaning the water of the mikvah has to be deep enough that it's got to be neck high. But we don't pass like Rav Yosef. We pass as long as the mikvah has arba'im sa'ah, it doesn't have to be neck high. There's no din that has to be neck deep of water in order for a nida to be there. Now in Sefer Yashar, Ben Tam writes that when Rav Yosef says lay shave until her neck, it doesn't mean yeshiva. It means amida. It means when she's standing up in the mikvah, it needs to be neck deep, according to that cheetah. But in Hamek Sheila, the Netziv in Achremo Simon Sadivav Sukat Yud Gimel writes in the name of a another Chacham that according to the Rambam, Rav Yosef means kipshuto, that she should sit mamish, sitting in the water, and that's what it says in Rabbeinu El Yakim as well, that the remez is uliyoshve Yerushalayim. So it's a remez that the tevila should be done dafka be yeshiva, meaning maybe the assumption is that the way she positions her body so that the water will be able to get to all different parts of her body should dafka be done more in a sitting position and less so in a standing position. But either way, the Gemara passes at the end, we pass that as long as there's our volume saw, then that's perfectly acceptable. So says Gemara, Shabbos, Dika Minil Mai. What about on Shabbos where a person is wearing shoes? Are you allowed to go through? This is a new topic. We had said previously on Ayin Zayin and Beis that there are certain cases where you're allowed to walk through the water neck high on Yom Kippurim, but now we're asking, okay, but can you do the same thing on Shabbos? Because you're wearing shoes on Shabbos. You're not wearing shoes on Yom Kippurim. You're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippurim. And on Shabbos, if you're wearing shoes, do we have to be concerned that maybe you're going to take the shoes off and then you're going to end up carrying them in a Rishos HaRabim? That's the question. Well, that's why Shabbos might be different than Yom Kippurim. The Achronim raised the question that since we're talking about passing through a river, the din legabe Shabbos is that the yam and the nahar that are 10 tefachim deep are considered avir me'al amayim until the height of 10 tefachim is considered like a karmelis. The halacha is that that location where you would be carrying the shoes would have a din of a karmelis. The isser of carrying in a karmelis is itself only an isser midrabanan. So over here we must be talking about it's more than 10 tefachim deep because we said it's over at savaro b'mayim that you're going neck deep in water. So why would I make a gzeira that you're not allowed to go in the water lest you come to carry your shoes? And then even if you do carry your shoes, it's only in Isra Midrabanan. That lechara is a gzeira legzeira. So why would we even have a havamina to make a gzeira legzeira? So the Nachlas Yoshua suggests that the Gemara Safek is not going on the brisa of overat savar b'mayim. It's a separate Safek that if you're walking through the mud, are you allowed to do so wearing shoes on Shabbos? Not 10 tefachim deep, not where it has a din of a karmelis, just down. Are you allowed to walk through the mud on Shabbos? So anyway, so Amar Nechemya Chasne de Beinasiya, Anach Hazise, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi, Dematul Urkuma de Maya. He said, I saw that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi themselves, I can tell you, my Sarav, they got to a place of water, Vavrua Derek Malbush, and they walked through wearing their shoes. So you see that it's mutter to walk through the water on Shabbos wearing shoes, and we're not concerned that you're going to come to be metaltal, you're going to come to carry their shoes in Rosh Hashanah. Says Martenach Minel, Sandal Michael Neymar. That's a shoe that ties onto your foot really tightly. What about a sandal that much more likely falls off? Some Rabbi Chumi Anachas, he said, Ravina, Davar Derech Malbush, says, I also saw that Ravina used to walk through Derech Malbush when he was wearing sandalim. So you see that even with a sandal, it's mutter. Ravashi Amr Sandal Lechadchila Lo. Ravashi says, no, but Lechadchila, you're not allowed to walk with sandalim because it's not tied onto your foot really well, and we have to be choshesh that it might fall off of your foot and you're going to come to carry it in a Rosh Hasharabim. Now, what does it mean, Lechadchila, you're not allowed to do it? How do we define what's called Lechadchila? So the Achronim explained, Lechadchila means that before you leave your house, when you're deciding what your footwear should be, so don't put on the sandal if you know you're going to be going to a muddy or wet area. And that's what the Ketos HaShulchan writes based on the Eli Rabbah. The Eli Rabbah says that any time that we say you're not allowed to go out with something on Shabbos because of a chashash that you may come to take it off and come to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, it always means Lechadchila, you're not supposed to go out that way. But if you're already out that way and then you encounter the water, that it does not mean you have to remove it when you're already out outside in the Rishus Rabim or in the wherever you are outside of your house. You don't have to remove it and just leave it there. You're allowed to continue to wear it. That's already called bidiyaved, right? So that's the definition of the chachilah and bidiyaved in this context. So it says where Reish Galusa itlal Agronia, the Reish Galusa once came to the town of Agronia, the Beir of Nasan, to Rav Nasan's house. Rafram v'kulu Rabbanan asulu pirkas. So the Reish Galusa gave a guest shir, and Rafram and all the Rabbanan attended the shir. But Ravina lavasa, Ravina didn't attend the shir. So the machar by Rafram lafukil Ravina midait to the Reish Galusa. The next day, Rafram wanted to make sure that the Reish Galusa wouldn't be angry at Ravina, so he wanted to make sure that the Reish Galusa would overhear what Ravina's good excuse was for not attending the shir. So Amalei, so Rafram said to Ravina in front of the Reish Galusa, within earshot, right? Sometimes you're supposed to say things in a stage whisper so that the person listening off to the side is able to hear. Right? When you're an aid kiddushin at a wedding and the Masada kiddushin says, does this look like it's worth a shava pruta? They're supposed to say it in such a way that the kala is able to hear. One time I was at a wedding, I was an aid kiddushin together with Rav Daniel Neustadt, and the Masada kiddushin took us over to the side. He said, does the ring look like it's worth a shava pruta? Rav Daniel Neustadt said to the Masada kiddushin, don't ask us over here, ask us in front of the kala. The whole point is that the kala should hear that conversation so that she wouldn't think that so that we wouldn't be choshesh that she's only getting married al das that the ring that she's getting is worth thousands of dollars or something. So because she hears that conversation that it's only worth a shavar pruta, you know, it's worth at least a shavar pruta, but it's like a tough call that the eidim have to make. You see that she's willing to get married even if she's being given a relatively cheap ring. So it has to be done in her earshot. So here also he has this conversation. He's not talking to the Reish Galusa, but he's kind of talking to the Reish. He's talking to Ravina within the earshot of the Reish Galusa, so the Reish Galusa could understand what Ravina's excuse is. So he says, "My time lost amar lepirka. Why didn't you come to the Reish Galusa's wonderful shir yesterday?" So Amalei have a kavli karai. He says, "I have these pains in my foot. My feet were killing me." So Yibayilach l'meisam sani. So why didn't you put on protective footwear? So Gabad kara havi. He says, "No, it was on the top of the foot where I wouldn't be able to get shoes on. You know, when your feet are hurting, sometimes putting on shoes makes it worse." So Yibayilach l'meisam sandala. So why didn't you put on sandalim, which are much wider and don't tie tightly around your foot, so they wouldn't hurt you so much? He says, "I couldn't. There was a giant puddle or a stream of water that I would have had to walk through, and you're not allowed to walk through wearing your sandalim." So he said, "Why not? Derech malbush, just wear them on your feet, and if it's derech malbush, it's not going to be a violation of carrying." Don't you know that Ravashi held sandal l'chadchila lo? That l'chadchila, you're not allowed to wear your sandalim, even if you're wearing them through a stream on Shabbos. So I didn't want to do it because it's a l'chadchila dika thing if I'm going to walk out of my house in that way. The Achronim point out a real problem. The Rishonim rather point out. Tosi Shonim points out a real problem that Ravina himself holds that you're allowed to walk through the water with your sandal. That's what Rav Ruchumi said in the name of Ravina earlier on. He said, right, we just learned that Amar Rav Ruchumi ano chazise l'Ravina the Avar Derech Malbush, that Ravina himself wore sandalim on his feet when he walked through the river. So what kind of excuse is Ravina giving? Oh, don't you know, Ravashi holds you're not allowed to do this? Yeah, but you're Ravina, and you hold that you are allowed to do it. So what kind of excuse is that? So Tosi Shonim is bothered by this kasha. He suggests two approaches. Number one, he says, maybe you see that there are two people named Ravina, that there was one Ravina that Taka held it was Asur. This must be a different Ravina who held that it was, one Ravina held that it was Mutter. This over here is a different Ravina who holds that it's Asur. The other possibility is that Ravina was just trying to be Docha him, but really he holds that it's Mutter. He was just trying to come up with an excuse that would satisfy the Reish Galusa. In fact, the Meiri writes a third possibility, that Ravina changed his mind. People are allowed to change their minds. Someone just asked me on Friday if I could think of any good examples of great poskim that wrote a tshuva, and then at some later point wrote another tshuva, said, by the way, everything I wrote in the previous tshuva was wrong, it was a big mistake, and I changed my mind. And I said, that's a great topic for a series of shiurim, right? On when do we find great poskim that change their mind? Apparently in the Gemara it happened all the time. We assume, you know, when explaining Rambam's, the stira between the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Mishnah Torah, we always assume it happened. We always say, oh yeah, he must have changed his mind. So do actual great poskim do that? Do we find that Rav Meisha did that? Do we find that? So I don't know. That's a good topic to research. Where we find are there Nedi Yehudas like that in Madura Tinyana? Do you find that he ever? We find a lot of tshuvas where he defends himself, where he defends what he had written earlier. But do you find where they just say, you know what, you're taka right, and they change their minds la halacha from what they thought earlier in their lives? But anyway, that's a possibility over here that Ravina perhaps changed his mind. Okay, so now we go back to the discussion. We're moving back away from Shabbos, back to Yom Kippur, and we're going to discuss things that you're not allowed to do on account of Ruchitza on Yom Kippurim. So Tani Yehuda Bar Grogros, Yehuda Bar Grogros taught in a Braisa. We've mentioned many times that in every Masechta, the Ragachavar said that in every Masechta there's one Tana or Amora that's not mentioned in any other Masechta. That's how he was able to spot the forgery when someone came up with someone claimed to have found a new Masechta, a new Talmud Yerushalmi that we had lost. They did such a good job forging it, they convinced a number of Gedolei Torah, and they showed it to the Ragachav, and the Ragachav said it's a forgery. They said, how do you know? He said, because he did such a good job, he only uses names that appear elsewhere in Shas. But every Masechta in Shas has a name that appears once and doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. So there's no new name over here. So this name probably is one of the names, at least in Masechta Yuma, that doesn't appear elsewhere in Shas, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, it's unclear. The people aren't sure what exactly this means. His name was Yehuda Bar Grogros. Grogros means dried figs. So that was his name. His father's name was Dried Figs. So in Hagos Yaivitz on the Sefer Yuchzin, he says that Grogros was his father's name, that Ataka was his father's name, and this is the name of some Amora. But in the Tiv Gittin, he says in the name of Maram Charif that was just a nickname, that he was called by the Dried Fig for whatever reason. I don't know what one would have to do to earn a nickname as a Dried Fig, but that was apparently his nickname. It wasn't actually his real name. So he taught that Osr Leishev Al Gabitina B'Yom HaKippurim, that you're not allowed to sit on wet mud on Yom Kippur, because the moisture of the mud is itself a violation of the Isser of Ruchitz on Yom HaKippurim. Amar Bisho Ben Levi, Betina Mit Pachas, that's only if the mud is very moist. Amar Abayi B'Tovech Al Manas Latbiach, how moist does it have to be? Moist enough that if you touch it, it moistens your hand, and then when you touch it one hand to the other, it will moisten your other hand as well. What's the Lashon of Tofeach? What's the root over there? Mit Pachas? So Tosis Yontif and Maseches Baba Kama explains it's a Lashon of Tefach, that Tefach is a measurement, but it's a hand measure. It's a measurement of one's hand. So we say if you would touch it with your hand, it would moisten your hand, and then Tofeach HaManas Latbiach, that you would touch from one hand to the other, it would moisten the other hand. It's not a Lashon of like Tipa, of like a drop or something. It's a Lashon of Tefach, of a hand, because that's how one measures the moisture. Amar Rav Yehuda Mutar L'Tzdanin B'Peiros. Another way to cool oneself off on Yom Kippurim that you're allowed to do is you can hold peiros in your hand. Peiros are typically somewhat cool, so on a hot day it might cool you off to hold peiros. Rabbi Yehuda Mitzdanin Bekara. Rabbi Yehuda used to hold a gourd to cool himself off. Rabbi Mitzdanin Biyanuka. He'd hold a baby, because babies sometimes are cold. Rabbi Mitzdanin Bekasa Tekaspa. He would hold a silver kos in order to cool himself off. This Siach Yitzchak says this isn't really a machlokas. It's just each one is saying is giving different advice of what you can hold that might cool you off when it's a hot day. But he says the greatest chiddush is Rabbi Yehuda, because that he would use peiros, because peiros are typically moist also, they're not just cool, and that's why when the Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas Asar Perakim Alacha Dalit quotes this halacha, he says mutar litzdanin bepeiros. He doesn't mention all the other things; he only mentions peiros. Because it's a kal v'chomer. If you're allowed to use peiros to be mitzdanin, then for sure you're allowed to use all of these other items as well. So Amar Rav Papa, kasa de kaspa malei aser. If you have a full kos of silver kos, you're not allowed to cool off with it, because you have to be choshesh that some of the water is going to spill out, and that's going to be a violation of bathing on Yom Kippurim. But chaser shari, if it's not full to the top, then you're allowed to be mitzdanin with it. The pachra, if it's made out of cheres, idi v'idi aser. Then it's aser, whether it's full or whether it's not. Because the cheres sweats a little, so there's going to be moisture that you're able to feel on the outside of the kos. In fact, the Rambam in Shvisa Sasa Perakim Alacha Dalid writes, Lo yimali adam klicheres mayim v'yitzdanin bo, shamayim nolz l'midafno. That you shouldn't fill the klicheres with mayim and then use that to cool off, because the mayim sweats out through the cheres. So the Bach points out that the Lashon is not so meduyak. Lo yimali adam klicheres? We just said in the Gemara that even if it's not malay, even if it's not full, you're not allowed to use a klicheres. So he says the Rambam doesn't mean malay in that sense. He means loyimalay in kharis in the sense that you're not supposed to put some contents into it. Tosfos Yeshanim says that this applies, this isra by kli charis applies even if the kli charis is totally empty, but it used to have water in it because there may be water trapped in the dofnei kli that are going to come out when you're holding it, and that's what the Torah writes as well in the name of Yesh Omrim, that it could still shvitz even if there's no contents in it right now. However, the Rambam makes it pretty clear that when he says lo yimalei, that it only is going to be an isser if there's actually contents in the kli, if there's actually water in the kli currently. So anyway, Ravashi Amar Kasa de Kaspa that Nami Aser Mishum de Mizdariv. Kasa de Kaspa Chaser Nami Aser by a silver coast, even if it's Chaser, it's going to be Aser to cool off with it because it's very smooth and could fall out of your hand. And we have to be Choshesh that when it falls, when it slips from your hand, you're going to spill a little bit on yourself. It's going to be, you're going to get water all over yourself. Zera Bar Chamush, Pazichlan, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Udukul Rabban de Kisri. Zera Bar Chama used to be the host of all of these Chashmer Rabbanim and all the Rabban of the city, Hava. That's what he was. So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef Berei. So Zira Bar Chama said to his son, Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, said to Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Bar Arya, you Chashmet, son of Talmud Chacham, Ta Emelach, Milsam Ali, Sadava Abravucha. Tell me a good hanhaga from your father. People who grow up in the houses of Talmidei Chacham, they have all sorts of stories and hanhagos to tell about things that their father did. So he said, tell me some hanhaga that we wouldn't know, that you only know because you grew up in his house. So Mitpachas Ha'ilo Erev Yom Kippur says, oh, I got one for you. He used to have a cloth, an Erev Yom Kippur, Vishoros B'mayim, he'd soak it in water, Va'usos Ha'kmin Kelim Neguvin, but then he would squeeze out all the water, he'd be sochet out all the water, but it was still moist and cool. And the next day he would use this cloth to clean off his face, his hands, and his feet, and he wasn't choshesh that it's a violation of Ruchitza and Yom HaKippurim. And Erev Tisha B'Av Shor Oso B'mayim Ulamachar Ma'avir Al Gabei Einav, and in Erev Tisha B'Av he would soak it in water and he did not squeeze it out, he would just put it over his eyes on Tisha B'Av to cool himself off without squeezing out the moisture in advance of Tisha B'Av. Now on Tisha B'Av there's no issur of Schita, so in addition to the issue of Rechitza over here, there's another issue that in Yom Kippur you're not allowed to squeeze out a cloth. It's a tolda of Malabain that you're not allowed to squeeze out a cloth. But on Tisha B'Av there's no Isra Malacha, so we don't have to worry about Schita. We only have to worry about the Rechitza issue. V'chein kiasa rabin bar mari amar be'erev Tisha B'Av mevi'in lo mit pachas v'shoros b'mayim u'menicha tachas mirashosav, that an erev Tisha B'Av when Rabin bar mari came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that an erev Tisha B'Av they used to bring Rabbi Shua ben Levi a cloth, he would soak it in water, he'd put it under his head in order that it shouldn't dry out, he didn't leave it exposed to the air. And the next day he'd wash off his face, hands, and feet. On Erev Yom Kippurim they'd bring him a mitpachas and he'd soak it in water, and he made it like he would squeeze out the water so that it was like a dry cloth. And then the next day he'd put it over his eyes in order to cool off. But wait a second, you told us the opposite, that on Tisha B'Av they would squeeze out the cloth to make a kelim neguvim, and by Yom HaKippurim you didn't mention that they would do that. And we asked you how you could do that on Erev Yom Kippur, how could it be that on Erev Yom Kippur you're not going to be sochet, you're not going to squeeze out the mitpachas in advance to make it dry? After all, isn't that going to be nichshol in Yom Kippur and Isra of Schita? Meaning, if you leave it totally moist, you leave it totally saturated going into Yom HaKippurim, don't you have to be concerned that that's going to lead you to a violation of Schita on Yom HaKippurim? So it must be that an Erev Yom Kippur they would squeeze it out, and an Erev Tisha B'Av they'd leave it a little bit moist. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to tell us two different shailas that they asked Rabbi Elazar, the second of which relates to Yom HaKippurim. First one does not, but we mentioned it here anyway. They asked Rabbi Elazar the following shaila. This Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar, Rashi points out, Rabbi Elazar the Amora, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar the Tana, who's mentioned in many Mishnayos and Brises, that would be Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So they asked Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas the Amora. Zakin v'yoshev v'yeshiva. If a person is a Talmud Chacham, Zakin means a Chacham, right? That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin darshins, that the Mepnei Seva talking about Darta Pnei Zakin. Zakin does not mean the person of a certain age. That's what what a seva means. Mipnei seva takum, you stand up for a seva. Vadarta pnei zakin, zakin means zeh shekana chachma. It's a nutrikum of someone who's a chacham. So if you have a person who's a zakin v'yoshev b'yeshiva, yoshev b'yeshiva doesn't just stand mean he sits and learns. It means he's a member of the Sanhedrin. So he's a highly credentialed Talmud Chacham. He's someone who managed to make it onto the Sanhedrin. In order to be Matir Bechor, does he need to get Rishus from the Nasi, or does he not need Rishus from the Nasi? Can he just paskin on it? To be Matir Bechor means to be able to look at the Bechor and determine that the mum that it has is a mum kavua. And if you could determine that it's a mum kavua, then the bechor becomes mutter for the kohen. Because the halacha is that when a bechor behema tahora is born, the halacha is the Yisrael has to give it to a kohen. And the kohen is makrevit on the mizbeach, and he eats the meat in Yerushalayim. It has a din of kachim kalim. But if it has a mum kavua, it's not a korban. They don't bring it on the mizbeach. The Yisrael just gives it to the kohen, and the kohen can eat it wherever he wants. He doesn't have the restrictions of kachim kalim. So it's certainly in the kohen's best interest to be able to have this animal have a mum kavua, so that it will just belong to the kohen. The whole animal will then belong to him. So what? There was a type of smicha. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that it used to be that there were that in order to paskin these shaylas, you know, different shaylas, you had to get different smichas. You know, then we have yora. Can you paskin this of a heter? Yora, yeah, you can paskin this of a heter. You'd get reshus for that. Yodin, can you be dan dine mamanus? Yodin. So those are the smichas that we're familiar with. That's why in the smicha certificate it says yora yora, or for a dine, for a chashamishpa certificate it says yodin yodin. It wasn't really yodin yodin or yora yora. It was yora yora. Yodin, yeah, can I be dan dine mamanus? Yodin. And then there was a third one. Yatir b'choros? They need a separate smicha to be able to know all the movement on the animal. So the Gemara says, yeah, yatir b'choros. They don't give out that smicha anymore of yatir b'choros. But that was that was a separate type of smicha. So if someone is already a member of the Sanhedrin, does he need reshus from the Nasi in order to be matir b'choros? So Maikami Bayiluhu says, what kind of suffix is that? Only a chacham who's a big mumcha is able to be matir b'chor. So why would he need to take reshus? He's sitting on the Sanhedrin. So doesn't that mean that he said, you know what you have to know in order to sit on the Sanhedrin? The Gemara Sanhedrin goes through the qualifications, what a person needs to know. These are basic dinim of being matir b'choros. Of course he needs to know those dinim. So of course he should be able to be do it to be matir b'choros. So achi kam by no. The shaila is ki adam ravidi baravin davar zeh he nichalem lebein nesia kedei liskader bo v'tzarich litol rishus odilma the kivin the zaken yashu b'shiva ain tzarich. No, the havamina is that mishum the cover of the nasi, maybe as a way of showing cover to the nasi, no one is allowed to be matir b'choros without getting rishus from the nasi. Or maybe no, or maybe we're not so concerned about the cover of the nasi, and then anyone who's a great enough expert is allowed to be matir b'choros, and you're a certified expert, if you remember the Sanhedrin. So Amar Rabbi Tzadik ben Chaluka al Raglo v'Amar. Rabbi Tzadik ben Chaluka got up on his feet and he said, why do you have to stand up? So the Achronim point out, the Tshuva's base Mordechai, he says he had to stand up because he was about to say Eidus, and Eidus has to be Ba'amida. So he said, Ani Re'isias Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra Shazakin v'Yashiv Yeshiva Haya. I saw Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra was Shazakin v'Yashiv Yeshiva. V'Amad B'mayla Mizikno Shalzeh. And he was more Chashuv than the grandfather of this Nasi in our days, who was the Nasi of that time. And he had to be notal rishus in order to be matir b'choros. Meaning, being a big enough expert doesn't help. You have to still be notal rishus from the nasi. So Rabbi Abba lo kach lo yamaisa. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Tzadik ben Chaluka, that wasn't the story with Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. El kachay maisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra kohen ha. He says you got a great story, but you got it wrong. The story with Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was not that he had to be notal rishus, even though he was such a big talmud chacham. No, you know why there was an issue with him? He was a kohen. Vachikami bayle. So he had a shaila. Halacha Rabbi Meir da amar chashu bedavar lo dan v'lo meido. Do we have to follow shitas Rabbi Meir that if someone is biased in the case, meaning a kohen has a great interest in saying that this is a mum kavua, because then he'll be able to keep the whole animal. So do we assume like Rabbi Meir that something when someone is chashuv, he's not allowed to be done on that item, and therefore Kohen shouldn't be able to be matir b'choros? Odilma alach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel damar neman hu al shel chavero, that you're neman about being matir someone else's b'choros, veinu neman al shel atzmo. If they're giving it to you, you can't be made, you can't be matir b'choros. But if they're giving it to another Kohen, then there's no problem. O pasha day alach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They told him that they passed. Shimon Gamliel, and as long as this Bechor is going to a different Kohen, then there's no problem with him being Mati those Bechoros. So that was the real Shaila that had nothing to do with Zakim Yashav Yeshiva, and therefore you're not really able to be Poshet our Shaila, whether Zakim Yashav Yeshiva needs Rishos from the Nasi. Vesu Kami Bailu, and then they asked Rabbi Lazar a second Shaila, and now we go back to Yom HaKippurim. The second Shaila relates to Yom HaKippurim. Mal Latzeis Pesandal Shal Sha'am B'Yom HaKippurim. Are you allowed to wear a sandal made out of a shoe that's made out of reeds on Yom HaKippurim? Is that considered a minal that's asur? Do we assume that? No, that's not a violation of Nilas HaSandal. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Al Raglav Amar. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani stood up and he said, Ani Reizi Yesh Rabbi Shimon Levi Shiyata Pesandal Shosam B'Yom HaKippurim. I saw that Rabbi Shimon Levi used to walk out with such shoes in Yom Kippur. V'amin Alei B'Tainas Tzibur. And I asked him, B'Tainas Tzibur, my, what would be the halacha on a Tainas Tzibur? Tainas Tzibur, this is, I guess, Daf Yom Kippur, well, at least from when we're giving the shir, we're giving it on Shavuos B'Tamuz, even though it's the next day's daf. So B'Tainas Tzibur, what would the halacha be? Although this Tainas Tzibur is not referring to like Shavuos B'Tamuz. This is talking about with the Tainios that they would fast for lack of rain, and they asu nilas sandal on such days, right? Shavuos HaBetamos were allowed to wear leather shoes, but when they fasted for lack of rain, they weren't allowed to wear leather shoes. So he wanted to know, can you wear such shoes on a Tainus Tzibur, or maybe on a Tainus we're more machmir than we are on Yom HaKippurim? What? Why would we be more machmir on a Tainus than we would be on Yom HaKippurim? So Tosfos Shanim says, because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yotes tells us that sometimes Divrei Sofrim sometimes you need to be more machmir about the dinim derabanan than you are about the dinim daraisa, because everyone already takes the dinim daraisa seriously, but maybe not everybody's going to take the dinim derabanan so seriously. So you need to be more machmir in order to show that we mean business. In the Siach Yitzchak, he says differently. He says, no, it's not about the relative severity of each one. It's that it's Tainus Tzibur, person, the nature of Tainus Tzibur is that a person must be mitzair himself, and that's why there's this. But Yom HaKippurim, yeah, there's Nisr of Nilas Sandal, but not because one is supposed to be in Tsar. No, there's supposed to be Oneg on Yom Tov. It is a Yom Tov on Yom HaKippurim. So maybe, therefore, on Yom HaKippurim, although you can't wear leather shoes, but maybe other types of shoes you're allowed to wear, whereas the Tainus Tzibur, maybe it's more Chamur. So anyway, Amar Li, Rabbi Shimon Levi responded, Loshna, that there's no Chiluk between Yom Kippur and Tainus Tzibur. So Amar Rabbi Rechana Aniri, Isias Rabbi Lazar Demin, Ninvei Aisar, Rabbi Lazar from Ninvei, Sheyatza Besadal Shosh on Tainus Tzibur, who wore this type of shoe on a Tainus Tzibur. So the Gemara in Tainus Daf Yudal tells us that the B'nai Ninveh, even when they needed rain, they were not knowing Tainus Tzibur. They had a din of a Yechidim. So how could the Achronim raise the question, how could Rabbi Rabbechana say he saw Reb Lozer D'min Ninveh as an Eidus that he would wear the sandal Shalsham B'Tainus Tzibur? They never had the din of a Tainus Tzibur in Ninveh according to the Gemara in Tainus. So the answer must be that he's Reb Lozer D'min Ninveh. It doesn't mean that he was actually in Ninveh when this happened. That he was, that's his hometown. He was from Ninveh. But wherever he went, it's like, you know, in every yeshiva in Europe, you know, there was one bacher from each little shtut, from each little town in Europe, in the yeshiva. So they would call him based on the town that he came from. He wasn't actually in the town while he was in the yeshiva. That's just the way they would call him. So anyway, v'amina lei v'yom ha-kippurim mai v'amali lo shna. So I saw that he was wearing such a shoe on a tiny sibur. So I asked him, and what would the halacha be on Yom Kippur? And he said that there's no difference. Same halacha of Yom Kippurim. Rav Yehuda Nafik b'rihitni, Abai Nafik Rabbi Yehuda would go on Yom Kippur with a sandal of hitni, which is some type of rubber, and Abai went out with hutzi, which is made out of palm branches. Rabbi Nafik, here it might be bidiyabli, some type of reeds. Rabbi Baravuna, the karich sudra akari v'nafik, he would wrap some cloth around his feet, and you go out that way. So apparently, that we just said you're allowed to wear a sandal shal sha'am on Yom HaKippurim. So says Mar Masav, Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama challenges, you know, it says in Masechta Shabbos, Hakiteya, if a person is an amputee, Yotze Bekav Shalom, he's allowed to go out into the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos wearing his fake leg, that his wooden leg that his stump rests on, because that's considered his shoe, because it protects his foot. And anything that's Derech Malbush, you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Divrei Meir. But Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to, because it's not considered a shoe, it's considered like something that he's carrying on Shabbos. Vitani Allah, and the Brisa says about that machlokes, v'shavin sha'asur latzeis bo v'yom ha'kipurim. That both Rami and Rabbi Yossi agree that he's not allowed to wear, the amputee is not allowed to wear that item on his leg, the wooden leg, on Yom HaKippurim, because it's a violation of ni'ilas ha'sandal. So it turns out that even according that even though Rabbi Yossi holds the kav ha'kiteya is not considered a shoe, you're not allowed to go out with it on Yom HaKippurim. So l'chora, the same would be true of a sandal shel sham. You don't need something to have the status of a shoe in order for it to be asur on Yom HaKippurim. As long as it's something that you wear on your feet, you're not allowed to wear it on Yom HaKippurim. So Abaye says, no. Hasam di ispe ksisin. Over there, you have to understand there were cushions in it. Umisham tanug, and the issue to wear it was because it was enjoyable. It was very comfortable for him, and that's what we don't allow in Yom HaKippurim. But not that it has a din. Not that it's a violation of nilas sandal. So sandal shosham would still be mutter. Some of the Rava says back to Abaye, he lav manahu. Well, wait a second. If it doesn't have a din of a minhal, it doesn't have a din of a shoe. Ksisin mashu le mana, because it has cushions in it, it's going to be a violation of nilas sandal. Va'od kol tanug lav minhalu biyom HaKippurim mi aser. And anyway, if it's something enjoyable, that automatically makes it aser in Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Rav Huna avakaruch sudra akari v'nafik. Rabbi Rav Huna would wrap cloth around his foot, mistama, that was comfortable, and he would go out like that. Va'od midiktabi seifa im yesh lo beis kibul kasisin tame. When the seifa goes on to say that if the wooden leg has a beis kibul to put cushions in it, that it's tame, meaning it's royal kabul tuma, like any other kli eitz that has a beis kibul. And from the fact that the Sefer talks about a base kibul for cushions in it, Mechal Duresha, it sounds like up until that point in the Brisa, we weren't talking about a wooden leg that had cushions in it. In it, Lav Bidis Lik Sisin Askinan, we're talking about one that does not have any cushions in it. It must be both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi holds that the wooden leg is a minal, and therefore it's Asher and Yom HaKippurim. Whereas the sandal of Hitni and Hutzi are not a minal, are not Asher. And B'Shabbos Pahapligi, as far as walking out with them on Shabbos, they're arguing about the following. Marsava, Rabbi Yossi holds that even though it's considered a minal, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Gazrinan Dilma Mishtamit Vasila Suye Arba Amos. Because there's still a greater concern, it might fall off and you're going to come to carry it for Amos. But Omar Savar Rabbi Meir holds Lo Gazrinan. We're not gozer, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. So what's the maskana over here? Are you allowed to wear these things on Yom HaKippurim? Are you allowed to wear non-leather shoes on Yom HaKippurim? Major machlokas rishonim over here. Rashi assumes that the maskana, Rameir and Rabbi Yossi agree that a kav hakiteya, that the wooden leg is considered a shoe and you're not allowed to wear it in Yom HaKippurim, but other shoes of Hitni and Hutza are not considered a minhal, and those are mutter to wear in Yom HaKippurim. The Bala Mar writes that they're all asur in Yom HaKippurim, because he said that Rava says the maskana that everyone is motivated by the kav hakiteya, that it's considered a minhal, so hu adin, all the other things also. So that's a famous Bala Mar. The Bala Mar asurs all the Crocs and sneakers and everything, anything that's going to protect your foot at all, the Bala Mar says you're not allowed to wear in Yom HaKippurim. However, the Rif, the way the Ran understands the Rif, holds that all types of shoes not made out of leather are automatically mutter, even a sandal shall eight. And the Bach explains that that which it says, like Rava, that l'kuli alma kav hakiteya is considered a shoe, that's only if it's mechupa or. That's only if the kav hakiteya, if the false foot is wrapped in leather. But if it's not leather, it's totally mutter. And that's what the Tor paskins, that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, so that's what we paskin la'alacha, that's what we normally assume la'alacha, that which is not leather is totally mutter. The machlokas continued in later generations, that maybe if it's really even more comfortable than a shoe, or as comfortable and as protective as a shoe, maybe the assumption of this whole conversation is that it's not so protective, so there's a chasam sofer, I think that was machmir in this. Rav Eliashiv, every year they used to put out on Yeshiva World News every year when Rav Eliashiv was alive, that Rav Eliashiv holds that you're not allowed to wear Crocs on Yom HaKippurim and Tishbav, and everyone will go crazy and they'll call their rabbis, are you really not allowed to wear Crocs on Tishbav? Yes, Rav Eliashiv holds that you're really not allowed to, but all the other poskim say that you are allowed to, so we each follow our own poskim. So anyway, so weiter in the Gemara now, Tanu Rabban, Tinokos Mutarim Bekulan. Tinokos are allowed to do all the inuyim that it says in the Mishnah. They're allowed to eat and drink and rechitza and sicha. Obviously Tashmamit is not shaykh, but all the inuyim, chutz mi nilas hasandal, except for nilas hasandal, that a child is not allowed to do. So maisha nilas hasandal, why is it that nilas hasandal, children are not allowed to wear shoes? Da amri inchi abduluhu, because people are going to think that an adult put the shoes on them. And the thing is, even if a child has a heter to do something, an adult is not allowed to provide the child with a dvar iser. That's a separate issue. Yavamus Kuf Yadal, it talks about Los Achilim, that an adult is not allowed allowed to give a child an iser. So hanach nami amri in sheabdul. But wait a second, shouldn't the same svara apply to rechitza and sicha, that people will assume that an adult did it for them? So it says where rechitza v'sicha ein mameyat malavilei. No, because rechitza, if they see a child that's freshly bathed or anointed with oil, they'll assume that an adult did it for him, but they'll assume an adult did it for him before Yom Kippur. They're not going to assume that it happened on Yom Kippur, but they see him wearing his leather shoes, they're going to assume it happened on Yom Kippur. Says more, why? Sandal nami, emer me'ad ma'avilei. Why wouldn't people see the child wearing his leather shoes and assume that he was, that the adult put it on him on Erev Yom Kippur? Says more, sandal lo efshad me'ad ma'avilei. It can't be that he would have put it on Erev Yom Kippur, because Damar Shmuel, Haiman de Bayil Mitam Tam de Misusa, the Sai Missin Viligani. If you really want to taste the time of death, then you sleep in your shoes. So you're not supposed to sleep in your shoes. So it can't be, if you see the kid on Yom Kippur during the daytime wearing shoes, it can't be that he slept in them. An adult must have put them on Yom Kippur, and that's why needless a sandal is an exception. So it says Noor, but v'mutarin l'chadchila katani. But mutarin implies that even l'chadchila you're allowed to do it, that if they were to ask a gadol, can you do this? Can you give the child to eat or to drink, and to bathe him, to give him sicha, that it sounds like the gadol is allowed to do that for the child in Yom Kippur. So the reason for the heter can't be because those who are going to see him are going to assume that it happened the previous day. It sounds like you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur itself. You don't have to make a assumptions about the previous day. So why then, by needless sandals, is it going to be aser? If you're allowed to actually feed a child in Yom Kippur, you're allowed to actually anoint a child in Yom Kippur, why can't you put his leather shoes on him on Yom Kippur? Elahanach, the lav rabbi sayhu, gazubur abar. It must be that those things that are not essential to the well-being of the child, like wearing shoes, the rabban made a gzeira, they were goza, that children shouldn't do that in Yom Kippur. But hanach, the rabbi sayhu, those that are essential to the basic health of the child and the upbringing of the child, the gozer b'rabbanon, the rabbanon were not gozer and iser. Dam rabbi, amr le'em, rabbi say the yunuka, what a child needs all the time, maya chamimi, he needs warm water to bathe in. Umashchan, he needs oil to be rubbed on his skin. And gadol port, if he gets a little bit older, bayasa b'kutcha, he's going to need to eat egg with kutach, which is a type of melechiga dip. Gadol port, he gets a little bit older, tamburi money, you got to give him toys that he could smash around to play with, to break things. Ki had the rabbi, Rabbi used to buy cracked clay cheres for his child so that he could go breaking them. So you see that children need certain things, and those things that are Rabbi Sayu, we never made a gezeira on. Let's go just a little bit weiter. Hamelech ha'akala yirchzu es pneim. Hamelech and akala are allowed to wash their face on Yom HaKippurim. So Masnisin, our Mishnah that allows this hat for Hamelech and akala, money, who's it following? Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion hi. Titania, Hamelech ha'akala lo yirchzu es pneim. Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion, Amar Mishum Reb Lazar, Hamelech Ha'akala Yirchitzu Es Peneim. The Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion is the one that says they're allowed to wash their faces. Hachaya lo tinol sasandol. Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion, Mishum Reb Lazar, Hachaya tinol sasandol. And then there's a machlokas whether a woman who just gave birth is allowed to wear leather shoes. So my time of Melech, why is a Melech allowed to wash his face? Mishum Duxiv Melech Biyafio Tachsene Enecha. Because Pasuk says the Melech always has to have a regal bearing, always has to look good. Kala my time, Kadeshal Tzkan El Baila, and a Kala is allowed to wash up so that she won't look unattractive to her husband. So Amalei Rav, the Rabbi Chia, Kala Ad Kama. How long does a person have, does a woman have the status of a Kala? Right? They've been married for 30 years and the husband still says, doesn't my bride look beautiful or whatever? You know, he still calls her bride, his bride. So is she still a bride? You know, she's got children that are brides already. So how long does she have the status of a kala? So I'm like Kiddetanya, like the Brisa says, in morning tachshitim na kala kol shloshim yom. That if a woman is lo aleinu in avelus as a kala, so for 30 days she still has all the tachshitim. So you see that for 30 days she still has the status of a kala, but only for 30 days. Hachayatun al sasandal mishum sina. The reason a woman who just gave birth could do nil sasandal is because it's cold. If she goes barefoot, she can get very cold, and that's not good for her health. She needs to recuperate from having had a baby. So Amar Shmuel in Machma Sakanas Akrav Mutter, that we have to, if we have to be choshish for Sakanas Akrav, then anybody is allowed to wear shoes. Meaning if you're walking in a place that's dangerous, where there's there are akravim around that could bite you, then of course you're allowed to wear shoes. The Rishonim are bothered why the Isra of Nilas HaSandal is pushed away for a Chaya just because her feet are cold, and why we allow Rechitzas HaPanim for a Melech and a Kala for these reasons that we gave over here. meaning, after all, you know, there's an Isser. So, okay, the Kalalotiskan al Baila, I understand that that's a concern, but to be Docha an Isser, to, you know, a Melech should have regal bearing. But he's a Jew, he's got to follow the Halachos. So, Tos Yishonim and the Rush say that you see from these dinim that all the Inuyim, other than Achil and Shtia, are only Isurim Midrabanim. And that's why the Chum were authorized to sacrifice those Isurim in certain circumstances that they saw a need for it. But had it been the Daraisa, they never would have had these Haterim. However, the Sheet of the Rambam in the first paragraph of Shvisas Asur is that all of the Inuyim are Da'araisa. So the Rambam explains that since they're not Mufurish in the Pasuk, it's the Masa Makasu L'Chachamim to determine, the Chum were given the right to determine when they're going to apply and when they're not going to apply, even though these are Dinim Da'araisa. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up at the very bottom of the page tomorrow. Again, that's what we'll be doing through the summer. We'll be doing, what do we say? What time did we say? 5:30? 6:30? What is it?
6:30.
Okay, so we'll be doing 6:30 every day through the summer. We'll be doing the following day's daf. 6:30 p.m. the following day's daf. Okay, everyone have an easy rest of the fast, and we'll see you tomorrow if you're able to make it.
Thank you.